Welcome to the GoTo Podcast. Each episode covers the brightest and boldest ideas from the world's leading experts in software development. Tune in for practical lessons, compelling theories, and plenty of inspiration. GoTo gathers the brightest minds in the software community to help developers tackle projects today, plan for tomorrow, and create a better future. Stay up to date with the latest in tech through GoTo's top-rated events held online and in person in cities like Amsterdam, London, Copenhagen, and Chicago, and by subscribing to the GoTo Conferences YouTube channel, where you can find thousands more high-quality dev talks. Learn more at gotopia.tech.
Hi, Alistair.
Hi.
It's great to see you again here at GoTo Aarhus 2024. I've been seeing you at these conferences for two decades now.
I know. I love this place. And it used to be called Yahoo Conference.
It used to
be. And you know, I was here the day after 9/11.
Yes.
I was in Copenhagen the day it hit, and I was flying here, and they decided to have the conference here.
Mm-hmm.
So I have memories. And we did a run.
Yeah.
We did a little running race.
Yes.
Good memories. I like
the Danish mile.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great to have you back.
Thank you.
You always have something interesting and sometimes a bit provoking to say.
Right?
Oh. Mm-hmm. So this time I was expecting, since this is an Agile conference, that you'd be talking about what's going on in the Agile world right now, because you're one of the, pardon my French, oldies but goodies, right?
Yeah.
You've been there since the start.
Yeah.
And then you start talking about AI. Why?
Because AI is affecting every part of everybody's life, and it affects the Agile world as much as anything else. It affects the programmers, it affects the Scrum Masters, it affects the managers, it affects the product owners. So AI, if I roll back maybe a year or something, I said crypto is basically a scam, it's going to go away, but AI is literally going to change the world. I feel like it's the beginning of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
With AI.
Yeah. I have the same feeling. I remember that, not quite the beginning of the internet, but also when Google came, that was also life-changing in many ways, right?
Yeah.
And this is the same, just on steroids. And what I'm wondering is, because you came up with some really good use cases of AI and some experiences, what are you worried about? Because you don't seem very worried.
Oh, I'm terrified. I'm terrified.
What are you terrified about?
I'll tell you what I'm terrified of, and it's a report of a radiologist, and it's a woman from India who got a very demanding degree in examining x-rays and doing radiology stuff, and she managed to get out of India. She sends money back to her country, and they found that the AI could do most of her job. So she could lose her job and go back to India.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole set of professions so in my talk, I talked about it's a power tool for the people who know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So the people who are good programmers.
Mm. Who can evaluate the answers that they get.
They're doubled productivity.
Yeah,
it's a times productivity. So they now can outproduce their junior colleagues by enormous margins. So if we take that to certain fields, there's certain categories of people who are just going to be redundant. And the thing is, as many people have commented, we have always wished for robots who would wash our dishes and vacuum the carpet, and instead, so that we could focus on painting and poetry, and now the robots are doing the painting and poetry, and we're stuck washing the dishes and vacuuming the carpet. So for me, that is terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a fact, and the other thing I wanted to say is I follow Grady Booch, smart guy, IBM fellow, working in the AI field, and he keeps saying it's not the magic, thing that you're looking for. It's not automated general intelligence. It's only doing copy paste, but that copy paste is doing a lot of people a lot of good. So it's, I think it'll be like Excel, right? I need and I know people who use it. They just go to ChatGPT. And they do things like we do in Excel or with a Google search, and it's speeding them up a lot.
Yeah, it really is.
So it's the scary part for me is that we wanted someone to clean a house so we could do the painting, but it's doing the painting and we're cleaning the house. That's part of the part that scares me.
Yeah. So what is it that you hope will happen? What is your dream
scenario? I don't predict the future. You know, I'm on record. My investment record financially is terrible. I thought it was a bad idea to write the Agile Manifesto. So I just don't go into the future.
You don't go into
hopes. What I do is I go around the world and I find out what people are doing, and then I tell other people what people are doing. So someone wrote that they were a presentologist, not a futurologist.
Yeah.
So I'm more a presentologist. I tell people what's happening now.
Like a cross-pollinator?
Cross-pollinator. Actually, if I could, I'm a bard. And I say bard for those who know, in the olden days, like we're talking, you know, sort of medieval times or Greek times, what did the bards do in the olden days? Well, they'd go from town to town, and they would tell the stories of the olden times, the gods and the heroes. Yeah. And they would tell people what was happening in other villages, what the fashions. That's exactly what I do. I tell people in the 90s, before Agile, we built Agile because we were looking at this, and da-da-da-da, and so what these people were doing in the olden days, and I tell people what the heroes were doing, da-da-da-da. So I do that. And then I say, and I just saw in Australia this, and I just saw in Vienna this. So I cross-pollinate.
Yes.
So truly, in that sense, I'm a bard, and I'm not going to predict the future.
Oh, that's sad. I thought you would.
I know. Not I. I know my limits.
Do you have any questions for me?
No. Well, you're in Denmark, and I don't house. The economy is down right now everywhere. Agile is down. Employment. So I think we've got a recession. We've got the post-COVID. That still hasn't come up. Remote's done a bunch of damage. We've got, of course, the war in Ukraine that's sucking up all the supply chains and all the supplies. So we really have a global recession. And so I would just ask you, because I don't know, in Denmark, are there pockets of strength, or is it seeing something up, or is it just the same as the rest of the world?
Well, that's actually a very good question, because I have been talking to a lot of my friends around the world, and they all say that's a recession, people are getting laid off, and I don't see it as much in Denmark. And I think that a company like Novo Nordisk is actually keeping Denmark up financially at the moment. So I think that's part of it. So there are sort of pockets of things that we can still use in Denmark. We're not drying out as quickly right now, but I think it's thanks to some of those big companies.
Like so I have a thing I want to say. Is this going to be mostly a Danish audience?
Yes.
Good. So there's something I'd like to tell you that I saw on TV, and I'm going to, because I'm speaking to my Danish friends. I love Denmark. I love Scandinavia. So there was an American journalist, and I don't know if they do this on purpose, that they ask the stupid questions because they're stupid, or because they're humoring their constituency back home who really have no clue. So he comes to Denmark, and he's interviewing people in Denmark, and says, so Denmark is supposed to be like the happiest country in the world, right? Where the people are the happiest. And they say, why are you so happy? And person after person, they say, what? It's quite nice here, you know. I mean, I have food and I have friends and so on. And say, yes, but you don't have this, and you're not the most of this and the great. No, that's all right. You know, it's kind of nice. You're happy because you don't have huge, great goals. Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, you know. I mean, I like where I live, and I have some friends and foods, and I like my. And so it was fascinating to me that the reporter. Truthfully, or because he was role-playing, this American, like, we must have
it
more.
It must be best and biggest.
Couldn't understand that, actually, you know, it's pretty good, huh? Wouldn't you say? Yeah, okay, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Done.
And I think that's also what I say when people ask me, why are you the happiest people in the world? And actually, the Finnish people have overtaken us, but let's not go there. I say it's because we have very low expectations.
It's fine.
If you have low expectations, you are easily made happy.
You have friends, you have food, like, it's pretty good, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Anyway, so I wanted to shout out to the Danes for the lovely answer. Like, it's pretty good.
It's pretty good. And what is actually particularly here in Jutland, part of Denmark, we say, it could be worse.
Yeah.
And that's considered good.
Yeah. So, and I borrow from this because I focus for happiness on every little thing. Like, I sat out in the sunlight for 5 minutes today. It was awesome. You get a good dinner with somebody. Yeah. It is just tremendous. All of those little good things. So I'm carrying back to, as a bard, carrying back to my Danish friends this piece of Denmark that comes around. And congratulations to everybody who has that view.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Super.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the GoTo Podcast. Head over to gotopia.tech to discover lots more content from the brightest minds in software development.